I have to start this sermon with a confession. At times, I struggle with forgiveness. Not all the time, and not usually with small things. And you don't have to know the particulars, that's not important. But it was interesting this past week when I was working on this sermon, and I knew what the gospel was a couple weeks ago. I've been thinking about forgiveness and all the ways that God let me know, in little ways that happen if you pay attention, that I have more work to do with forgiveness. It has to do with something quite a while ago. Nothing here, of course. So I tell you this because I'm thinking that many of you also may struggle with forgiveness, at least from time to time. And if so, this gospel that we just heard could be a little shocking to you because it's pretty dramatic. So this sermon is for all of us who have been hurt in the past and who still struggle with the spiritual discipline that we call forgiveness. But before we look more closely at the gospel passage, I want to tell you some things that forgiveness is not. That I'm pretty clear that Jesus was not saying forgiveness is these things. All right, this is what forgiveness is not. And there's a lot of misconception, I think, about what it means to forgive. Forgiveness is not an excuse to let someone continue to abuse you. For too many years, women and probably men too, who were in abusive relationships, were told by some pastors that they just had to forgive their abuser, but not given help to get out of that relationship and into safety, which is the only way that you can actually begin to forgive, if you're in a safe place. To forgive someone does not mean that we think that what they did is okay. We do not deny the hurt or say that everything is all right when it isn't. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we will forget what has happened either. And forgiveness does not always happen all at once. In fact, I'm pretty sure that it usually doesn't happen all at once unless it's a very small piece of forgiveness. It's a process, as God reminded me this past week. So Peter asks Jesus how many times he has to forgive someone in the community of faith who sins against him. And Jesus says, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. Sometimes it's translated as 70 times 7. Now, we can get caught up here. It's not the number that's important. It doesn't mean on the 78th time you don't have to forgive the person, or the 491st time, keeping tally there, you don't have to forgive them. That's not what it means. 7 is a holy number, and it's symbolic, really, of infinity. So Jesus' answer tells us that we can't count our way to the end of forgiveness. We can't count our way to the end of forgiveness because there is no end to forgiveness in God's kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean that this is easy. Forgive us our trespasses, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or in the translation, which is in the New Revised Standard Version, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, a prayer in which we ask God to forgive us for all the things that we have done and that we do that hurt or destroy the creatures of God, including ourselves. And at the same time in this prayer, we are called to forgive others for what they have done to us. So the parable that Jesus tells in this gospel passage about the king forgiving the servant for an incredible debt that could never be repaid. It's a sum of money that would be impossible for the servant to repay ever. And then the servant turns around and refuses to forgive someone who has a very small debt. That parable is a dramatic portrayal of the opposite of that part of the Lord's Prayer. A dramatic portrayal of someone refusing to act as the Lord's Prayer demands of us. Forgiveness is a spiritual discipline. And parents can teach their children how to forgive by their example. I remember when our boys were very young, I was really aware of this. And so anytime I needed to apologize to them, if I lost my temper and yelled at them, no matter if, you know, they deserved me to lose my temper, I would apologize always to them if I yelled at them. And we also had to be willing, as they got older, to forgive them when they asked for forgiveness. And so by modeling with them, asking for forgiveness and receiving their forgiveness, accepting their forgiveness, we hope to help them learn how to do that for themselves. Some of you who have children or grandchildren or have been around them will remember or know about the VeggieTales cartoons, which are really cute Christian cartoons that are sort of light, but they treat serious themes. And there's one on forgiveness for children that we watched when our kids were very young. And in it, a family of peas is driving around this old jalopy, and they're making fun of this young asparagus because they've never seen an asparagus before. And he's tall, you know, they're little round things, and he's tall and his hair's sticking straight up, and they're making fun of him. And so in this VeggieTales, the young asparagus struggles with how and how many times he needs to forgive them for that teasing. Well, when our son Hugh was very young, he was probably not even two or just about two, we watched that video with him and Franklin, who was older. And sometimes it's hard to figure out how much is actually getting through to young children when they're watching things. But I knew that he had gotten the message when we were eating dinner that evening. We were having homemade pea soup, my grandmother's recipe, which I thought that he liked. So he's sitting there in his high chair, and he got a really funny, weird expression on his face. And I asked him what was the matter. And he looked at me and he said very clearly but with a twinkle in his eye, "I don't forgive you for the soup." Even at 2 years of age, Hugh got the point of that video, or at least one of the points of it. Forgiveness is a choice that we make. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and that withholding forgiveness is always a possibility. And in fact, sometimes I think we withhold forgiveness as a way to try to get some kind of control over the situation, which is, I think, what he was doing. By withholding his forgiveness, he was letting me know that he never wanted to eat pea soup again in his life. Corrie ten Boom, many of you will know about her, author of The Hiding Place, was arrested by the Nazis in World War II and put in a concentration camp because she was helping Jewish people and hiding them. She wrote this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. The will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. The words coming from her are not lightly spoken. After she was released from the concentration camp and after the war was over, later in the 1940s, she had an encounter with one of the prison guards, one of the cruelest prison guards, who came up to her and asked her for forgiveness. And she writes that she prayed to God as she had never prayed before to be able to grant forgiveness. It is often most difficult to forgive if the person or persons who have hurt you refuse to acknowledge their actions, refuse to acknowledge that they need forgiveness from you, refuse to ask for it. This past summer, while on pilgrimage in the Black Hills of South Dakota, our J2A group met some remarkable Lakota people. And one of them, an artist named Daryl Nohart, shared a lot of his story with us. He's probably close to 70 now. It's hard to tell people's age, but he was one of the Native American children who years ago were taken from their families forcibly by the government, sent away to boarding school, and made to give up everything they knew about their life. Their language, their rituals, their clothes, in an attempt to change them. So he left his home at 7 years of age, and although some of the children did see their parents again, he never again saw his parents. His story of terrible loss is the story of countless of our Native peoples. But Daryl also shared with us some of his spiritual journey. Although no one ever formally apologized to him for the damage that had been done to him, he learned that he had to begin to forgive, that he had to begin to give up the hate that was in his heart in order to move on. And Daryl now, when you meet him, is full of compassion. He's just radiating compassion. And he gives his heart now to the work of helping to heal the hearts of other Native peoples, people struggling with addiction, and particularly young people and children. We can see the kind of transformation and power that forgiveness can have in people like Bishop Tutu and Nelson Mandela of South Africa, who we know from their stories, we only know a little bit of the difficulty, but they know well the immense importance of forgiveness for healing. Forgiveness is a spiritual discipline. And that means, like all spiritual disciplines, it takes practice. It doesn't happen immediately, usually. It's more of a process than a one-time action. And sometimes, and here I'm speaking to myself as well, sometimes we have to start at the beginning again with forgiveness. Sometimes, if we cannot summon the will to forgive by ourselves, we have to start with praying to God for the will to want to forgive. We can also pray for the person or the people whom we need to forgive, knowing that this prayer over time, by God's grace, can change our hearts. Jan Richardson, I've been quoting lately, she's been writing profound things, writes this about forgiveness. The heart of forgiveness is to be found in choosing to say that although our wounds will change us, we will not allow them to forever define us. Forgiveness might well be the hardest blessing we will ever offer or receive. As with any difficult practice, it's important to ask not only for the strength we will need for it, but also the grace. The grace that will, as we practice again and again, begin to shimmer through our wounds, drawing us toward the healing and freedom we could hardly have imagined at the outset. May God give us the will and the strength and the courage to take on this spiritual discipline of forgiveness, whatever that means in our individual lives. This vital work of forgiveness that can enable great healing of ourselves, of our families, of our churches, and of the world.